Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones, but you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know this. You know who they are. I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another. And how do you show that love? But to care about each other enough to say, please get vaccinated because I love you. I need every one of you. I need you to let them know that this is how we can fight this pandemic, come back to normal, and then start talking about the real issues that we have to, fighting systemic racial injustice.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Wednesday, September 29th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. I have a specific show for you today about two main studies that I want to discuss, that I want to outline for you, and some really important things around either side of that that align with the illusion that we keep seeing, that we're continuing to chop down as it continues to be thrown up. My thought process right there is how absurd it is that we continue to have to swing back every single time they make a comment and say, oh, well, here's the information yet again to show here's everything we keep showing you that's absolutely what they tell you we should be looking at that counters what they're saying, and yet we're not supposed to talk about it. It's infuriating, confusing. But I'm going to start off today. Well, and those studies, as you could probably tell from the title, are specifically around things we've already discussed. Natural immunity, spike protein, in an interesting way, in the context of how they're describing it from COVID-19, causing what they're calling pathogenic antibodies, which, interestingly enough, does have there's an interesting comment to be made there, even around natural immunity. But we'll talk about that today and what I think it means. But also that if the spike protein is being produced by the injection, which they claim it is, that too then would cause the same problem. And this is something that Robert Malone and I talked about, that he later ended up talking about more in regard to, clearly this does seem to be the same end result. It's creating the spike protein, and it must be the same one, essentially, of course, if it has the same effect. It wouldn't make any sense if it was a different spike protein, and yet somehow that matters to the fact that the way that the virus is hurting your body, essentially, right? The idea that the spike protein is what it's recognizing. Right. So if it's producing something completely different, how in the world would it know to create the situation that needs to in order to stop you from being hurt by it, essentially, to say it in a really stupid way, but bottom line. But it's ridiculous to pretend that the spike protein that's being produced by the mRNA instructions encapsulated in lipid nanoparticles is not the same thing as what's being introduced to your body, which creates the problem. I mean, that's why it makes sense. So we're going to talk about a study today that discussed the concept of how that is creating something in your body, which ties interestingly in with the idea of antibody-dependent enhancement, pathogenic priming. These are all things that have been there from the very beginning, as we keep pointing to people like James Lyons Weiler, PhD. He has been screaming about this, in fact, coined the term from the very beginning. And it just continues to be bolstered, and yet it's still fake news. Well, now we'll get into all this as always through a lot of different avenues and things that associate with it on the side, which bolster other points we've made in the past. But to start off, as usual, I want to talk a quick couple points about foreign policy and how that relates over, as I tend to do. Sarah Abdallah makes a point in regard to Julian Assange, which ties back to something that the Gravel Institute said about the Afghanistan conversation, which we talked about. And I just thought this was so relevant to how this happened. We know it happened. They admitted to this happening, and yet nothing changed. Nothing happened to them. No accountability. I was just talking about this with Slow News Day today. She says, well, first let's read the tweet from the Gravel Institute. Remember when it turned out, remember this was very recently, that ISIS-K, I love it's in quotes because I also think it's ridiculous this term just came out of nowhere despite it being some huge thing. Not that it doesn't exist, but that there's a weird story around that. It turned out that ISIS-K drone strike that they claimed they conducted a few weeks ago actually killed an innocent Afghan family. By the way, that's fact. They even were grudgingly allowed, they had to admit it. And remember, when we first talked about that, Robert and others on the ground were saying this, not that Robert was on the ground, but others that were on the ground were saying this, that this was what happened, and it was fake news up until they admitted it. And this is how everything goes today. The media saying, that's not what happened. Here we are. They admitted it. They killed a family. The military admitted it, and no one got punished or even demoted. That's the story. How in the world is that what happens? So it's okay to murder a family by accident as long as you were trying to do the right thing, and then we're assuming that they were actually trying to do the right thing? Pretty naive. This ties to everything. These are the same people. And as she says, yet Julian Assange is the one in prison at a maximum security cell right now for exposing things like that. I don't know why we can't recognize what's going on. Actually, I do. It's because of politics, because people are invested in a political side that is invested in not exposing this reality. That's why. Now, as Grant points out here, distracted by vaccines, COVID-19, Delta, Mu, mask, and the greatest wealth transfer in the history of the world takes place. Meanwhile, 50 gas prices are 50% up. Coffee prices, 54% up. Global debt is $281 trillion up from where it was before this started. I agree with this entirely. Not that all the other things are only distraction, but we can't stop tracking what else is going on around the world. And this is, even I am failing in this regard in a lot of ways around foreign policy. I mean, calling it a failure there's a lot going on around COVID that I think ties back in. I feel like it's a failure just because I feel like I need to be covering everything. But there's a part of that that's being missed. And his point here is that why aren't we talking about all of the things around this, which we have, even in regard to the people involved or people that had foreknowledge making a lot of money on the stock market? Why is there no accountability? These are rhetorical questions. I believe you already know why. Propaganda machines have you looking one way, look the other. I agree to a degree. There's more in all of these parts, but yes, keep looking behind the shadow in the shadows because there's a lot more going on. And just to add to that, same kind of point, bond yields nothing after inflation. The Fed keeps printing money. Food costs are soaring. The rich are getting richer by the moment, and stocks might soon crash. That's, you know, the stock market is nonsensical nonsense to me. It's a Ponzi scheme, guys, the whole damn thing, but I don't want to get at it today. If you understand this, click more and follow, blah, blah, blah. The point is, there's a lot of this happening that we're not paying attention to. I just want to include those to remind me to say that. Pay attention to what else is happening. The idea that there's some kind of effect on infrastructure that's going to cause scarcity and increase prices is ridiculous to me. There is not enough happening in that regard to make that kind of thing happen. And this is what I keep pointing out about when there was that weird little kerfuffle at the shipping lanes, when there it got backed up for something that happened, and it was within I'm kind of mixing two stories. It did happen there as well, but the point was specifically about when there was the cyber attack on the meat plant. And it turns out after the fact they made a choice to shut down, that they weren't actually shut down by the attack. They chose to, for personal reasons, but because of the attack, but they chose to do it. And the point was that while that happened, like the day it happened, we were hearing reports about meat shortages. Are we really supposed to pretend that the day that happened, suddenly there was meat shortages? The day that happened, and that translates? That's crazy ridiculous. That's dumb. They made a big mistake by making that so transparent. Regardless, the point is, there's a lot happening like that that we need to see. And I think it's all tied in around COVID and everything else. And one last point on this that Whitney made the other day that I already referenced another show around, not just COVID-19 or not even just, I mean, any number of things, the green revolution. There's a lot of ways to frame this. But as she points out, if you think you're backing a radical agenda that's also backed by Wall Street, predatory multinationals and the billionaire class, I'm sorry to inform you that you're a pawn, not a revolutionary. I love this point. Now, you could be talking about climate change discussions. You could be talking about the Great Reset. All of these things are being driven in by the very people that they're supposed to be rebelling against. It's the very concept of being a radical that's been co-opted by the government. It's ridiculous. And as I said, this is a very important point in regard to how they keep us feeling like we're affecting change. The two-party illusion is what allows this type of absurdly obvious and naive thinking. How can you be a radical if the establishment is spoon-feeding you the direction? A lot of people choose to ignore that, and just because it makes them feel good. They get pat on the head. You're doing the right thing for the right reasons. It's a problem. But here's the ultimate problem that this all leads to, is that it's a choke point, as everything else is. And to bring this into COVID-19, YouTube is now, which by the way, this is not even remotely new, but I guess this is nothing new for mainstream media to repackage old stories as breaking news. YouTube bans accounts with vaccine misinformation. gee, that's been happening for 20 years. I don't know how long even YouTube's been around, but probably since they started. I'm kind of being facetious, but they have been banning misinformation. They're calling misinformation specifically around vaccines, at the very least, since this all started for the COVID clown world. But they've been banning what they call misinformation around all sorts of topics, foreign policy, as you've seen me butt up against before COVID ever started, long before they've been talking about it. It used to be a conspiracy theory, in fact. It's not a joke. It used to be an absolute conspiracy theory that YouTube was doing any of this. Now they're like, yeah, we're doing it for good reasons, though. Please see the connection to the first point we made about doing things for good reasons, even though they're wrong. They are now banning accounts with what they deem misinformation. Now, do you? I hope you see why that's ridiculous, because we're talking about people that have already been shown to be wrong, or at the very least, things that have evolved, it turns out, to show that what was banned as fake news later turned out to be correct. And they still didn't circle back. They're still censoring people talking about natural immunity or myocarditis or any number of things, blood clots, vaccine-induced thrombosis, thrombocytopenia. These are fake news stories, unless in very specific ways being reported on by specific people. It's crazy. But here's the craziest part for me. They get to decide. Right? YouTube as a company gets to decide. And of course, with the influence of the experts, which are people that are tied to the government and on, like the Atlantic Council for Facebook, that's what we're talking about. They get to decide what constitutes misinformation around vaccines. But you know why that's a problem? Because right now we're as you know, not just T-Lab, but everybody in this sphere is being censored for talking about scientific information. Not saying that means it's 100% true. It means that there's scientific publications that they tell you to look at that we're reporting on. And because it challenges the narrative, it gets censored as misinformation. On top of that, we have people in the mainstream that they're allowing to talk on YouTube, Twitter, elsewhere, which they should. Nobody should be censored. But they're saying things that are flagrantly incorrect. Let's just start off with the point I made before. And the point being, YouTube's not going to censor them because they're saying the acceptable thing, even though that thing is verifiably false. Which pretty much just shows you that this is not about facts. It's about narrative. Any child could see that if they're being honest with themselves. So as this PhD points out, and I made this point just recently from another article, and I think the citation was actually closer to 50%, but regardless, in this graph, in this poll that was taken, 41% of Democrats think there is a 50-50 chance of going to the hospital for COVID. Reps and independents, Republicans and independents also grossly overstate the risk. That's an important part that keeps getting missed, and I'm going to make that point in a second. But focus in, first of all, just let's say 41% of Democrats think that you have a 50-50 chance. Fear-mongering media and bad public health messaging caused this. Course correction desperately needed. The answer? Under 1%. Now, we've gone over all of this. You can easily verify this stuff, especially if you are middle-aged or under with no comorbidities. It's basically non-existent, statistically insignificant. In fact, 19 and under, 1 in a million chance of dying. And somebody keeps pointing this out. I don't remember if I incorrectly said this, but if I did, I've done it before. I keep showing you the stat and I'm talking off the cuff. It's 1 in a million exactly. That's literally the stat they give of a child under 9 or a person under 19 dying of COVID. The hospitalization risk was equally statistically insignificant, basically still zero, but about half. That was like 1 in, I forget the actual stat. I don't want to misquote it, but for accuracy, transparency, if I did say getting sick, I meant dying. And I've made this point many times, but how can they be reporting or stating, and they do all the time, this risk when they're wrong? And we'll report the risk as under 1 and be censored for it. And YouTube will be like, yep, made misinformation because they said. But they're wrong. Now, the point here is to look at the larger picture, right? Let's just take this for the 50% or higher discussion. 22% of Republicans also think that. So this is not just right now. There's another point in this show. I forget if I ended up including this, but as I keep saying, this is nonpartisan, guys. There is no partisan lean here. Right now, they're desperate to get you to think this is crazy conspiracy theory Republicans going against the smart science Democrats. That's like the mainstream argument right now. Of course, the Republicans would argue differently, but that's what we're getting fed, right? But that's not what's happening. Right now, you talk to anybody in these groups, whether they're protesting for your freedom to have a choice or they're protesting to take that choice away.
it is nonpartisan. And I mean that on both sides. You will find Republicans who believe that we're all going to die because it's the worst thing in a century and that we should do this. And they're only caught up, and I argue, because they're scared. I know some of them. Okay, but then you have on the other side people who are Democrats who are inside these rallies voting for your right to choose, even though they may think that masks are necessary and that we're all in danger. They're still standing up for your right to have a choice. So the point is that this is nonpartisan, and they want you to really think that it's split down the line, so we fight each other. 41% of in this poll think that you have a 50-50 chance of going to the hospital. 22% of Republicans, 26% of independents. The point is the political parties leading this majority are wrong. They're completely overtaken by fake information, and we're the ones being censored. It's incredible. And that's what moves like this are meant to do, to solidify that control of the narrative under a guise of doing the right thing. Now, here was the clip I played in the beginning. I'm going to play the full thing for you right here. This is crazy. I mean, I'm a Christian, okay, for those that don't know that. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous that she says this. One, because how insulting to pretend like you somehow know what God wants. Who are you? Why in the world do you think you have the right to stand up here? Because this is how they see themselves. She says the vaccine comes from God. I need you to be my apostles. This is not only manipulative, this should insult you. This is blasphemous for anybody that actually understands what, one, that I don't, well, I shouldn't be subjective about it. Bottom line, this is ridiculous. Listen to the full thing. So you understand how that it's, you know, she's trying to draw a line here to make it seem like God influenced these people to do the right thing. But the way she ends this is very clear. She's using religion to manipulate people who believe this is a godsend to go out and use that religion to pressure people into this. This is not a secret. This was happening during Trump's administration as well. Oh, actually, you know what? I was going to play it on the screen, but I will just grab the clip for you, so you can hear it better, because I did download the full thing. Here it is.
A lot to God during this time. And you know what? God did answer our prayers. He made the smartest men and women, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers. He made them come up with a vaccine. That is from God to us.
Oh, how about we realize, first of all, what about the whole narrative that they've been doing this for 20 years? How about that, lady? So is it that they've been working on it 20 years, or did God just send it because we're in need and we prayed for it? Right? It can't be both. If it's been working on it for 20 years, then God didn't just send it because we prayed for it. Right? This is just, it's a stupid point, but this is the kind of nonsensical, there's no tie to this. She's making it what she wants it to be. And also, how about we just point out that it's not even remotely anything, the positive nature around what she's talking about. If God sent this, then that's bad because it's hurting a lot of people, right? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. But that point just popped into my head. How did God send it if we've been making it for 20 years?
And we must say, thank you, God. Thank you. And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say, I'm vaccinated.
Gross.
All of you. Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones, but you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know this. You know who they are.
Now, what's interesting about that right there, we all know what they're implying. Those stupid, uneducated Republicans, right? That's what, and you know, same thing that Republicans do in reverse about the Democrats. This is how the two-party illusion works. But what's crazy to me, this is a Democrat leader basically calling to the Christian community and saying, you know who they are. Historically speaking, this just seems so weird and different, like with typically the Christian conservative, right? And so it's just strange to me. And this almost in and of itself makes my point about how this is nonpartisan. But it's just interesting to me. You know who they are. All those ungodly people that don't believe in this godsend vaccine just freaks me out.
I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another. And how do you show that love but to care about each other enough to say, please get vaccinated because I love you. I want you to live. I want our kids to be safe when they're in schools.
And of course, then you also love people just as much to force them to do things they don't want and, you know, tear their families apart, destroy their businesses, right? Because you love them all. No, you love the ones that go along with what you're asking them to do. The people that disagree with you, you can't stand, you hate, and you spit vitriol at them all day long, right? This is so insulting. Again, to act like it's all of us. And there's just this fringe corner that they, half this country are, they're being treated like they're absolute lunatics, and they are being treated like they're terrible, disgusting people. The words have come out of their mouth, her mouth. These are bad. Like what she's literally calling them ungodly. I mean, think about that. We're still talking about even their statistics, over 40% of this country. How is this even, even remotely acceptable?
You need to be safe when you go to a doctor's office or to a hospital and are treated by somebody. You don't want to get the virus from them. You're already sick or you wouldn't be there.
What? Okay, let's piece this out for a second. So you go in because you're already sick and you don't want to catch what you already have from the person who might not have been injected. Yeah, I think you lost the thread on that one, lady. But the point is that she's just basically ranting. She's riffing here about why, you know, we don't want to go in and just get sick. Well, didn't you just get injected? I thought you were supposed to be safe and effective. Who cares, though? Everybody everywhere get everything or we're all going to die. That's the running narrative.
We have to solve this, my friends. I need every one of you. I need you to let them know that this is how we can fight this pandemic, come back to normal, and then start talking about the real issues that we have to fighting systemic racial injustice, which exists today. And if there's a dot
on and on, right? Because that's the one thing that we all, you know, who cares about the people we're murdering overseas? Who cares about the, you know, the what's the infant mortality in this country that's through the roof, or the obesity that's through the roof, or all these problems that are just tearing this country apart that we're allowing, the opioid crisis. But no, it's about only systemic racism. Now, obviously, racism is something that matters. Systemic racism or any other conversation therein, I've never belittled that concept. But it's crazy to me that that's the only... So get past this so we can shift back into the one thing. That is politics, guys. Politics. There's something else she said.
This pandemic... come back to normal.
Right. I mean, how ridiculous it is that they keep drifting this carrot in front of you. It's really just a stick drawn, made to look like a carrot, because it's not really a carrot. You're going to get hit in the face with this stick, just like the other stick. It's two sticks. There's no stick and carrot here going on, guys. It's stick and then a fake carrot. if you understand the analogy of carrot and stick. The point is, you're not going back to normal. They keep telling you that. They keep telling you that there is a booster coming. And I'm going to show you more clips today that make this clear from the U.S. or anywhere else. This is not going away. So this illusion that you get the injection, if we just all get the injection, we go back to normal. They are the ones telling you that that's not true. And yet she, people like her, throw that out there to people who are just mindless enough to gobble it up because they want that to be the reality. Meanwhile, she'll go somewhere else and literally outline how this will go on for boosters and the flu and around the next lockdown. It's crazy.
And then start talking about the real issues that we have to.
Right. Well, the real issues, right? The real issues, right? That's the only one that seems to matter, right? But going forward on the same point, here is another example. And remember, the thread here is going back to the concept of banning misinformation, right? What she's literally saying that God sent you this vaccine. That's good to go. God, who knows how we can prove that one, right? I'm over here giving you things that we can literally prove back to source material. They tell you should we trust, and I'm fake news. But she'll make a claim about the injection being sent by God. And that's all good, right? Not fake news at all. But as James Lindsay points out, PhD, Farr's Law, gonna Farr's Law. Before I even get into the point, I want to make sure people understand what Farr's laws are. William Farr demonstrated, and this is interesting because this in and of itself, the very concept of this seems to undermine, doesn't seem to, it literally undermines the efficacy, usefulness, the reason for injections. You'll see what I mean. William Farr demonstrated that epidemics declined at a mathematically predictable rate, using empirical observations of a smallpox epidemic to confirm this. Smallpox, one of these ones they keep throwing the conversation of injections, right? That's a proof that these things, right? Well, using empirical observations that had a mathematically predictable rate, regardless of what you did. Think about that. He says he later formulated several other mathematical equations and laws that apply to epidemics. That prevalence of a disease can be calculated from the mathematical product of incidence and the average duration. Now, this is something people who, you know, get labeled anti-vaxxers, who are really just trying to have an objective conversation about history and these things, have pointed out. You can see that things like smallpox, specifically smallpox, and there's one that I'm suddenly blanking on, that there's another example, wasn't measles. Anyway, the smallpox is one of them, that you can see that there was already a decline. There was a decline already, just like we're seeing today, where there was decline and injections begin and there's a spike, right? Then that spike comes down again after the injections, and they go, yay, it worked, see? But you could argue, and this is the argument here, that this was already on a natural decline. The injections, in fact, hurt the situation, whether we're talking smallpox and it just got people sick or whatever we're dealing with today. It caused a problem that's called whatever, and there's an increase. Then it goes back down, and that gets attributed. The point is what he's made, what the Farr's laws are saying, and as the, you can see back here on the image, Germany did everything they were supposed to, according to the mainstream. Masks, mandates, lockdowns, whole damn thing. Sweden did none of that. No, forced, I should say. Now look at the identical track, almost, I mean, damn near identical situation. Germany and Sweden. Orange line being Sweden, black line being Germany. Now, interestingly enough, Germany even got worse for quite a while than Sweden. But the point is, look at, I mean, Germany's mask mandate, all these different things. Look at the, it's the same situation. How can you possibly walk away from this thinking we need to do all the things they're telling us to do? At the very least, you should go, well, maybe there's something wrong here. Maybe those things aren't doing anything. That's certainly a fair question when you're staring at this data. Now, you can make the argument there's another reason why that happened. Sure, I'm open to that. But we're not even, oh, thank you, polio. Thank you. I couldn't remember for a moment that I was talking about polio. That's the main one. Polio is the most obvious, in my opinion, that was already decreasing and it shot back up after the injections and then went back down. But this is so impossible. This is why nobody's talking about Sweden. There's plenty of other examples, by the way. In reverse, too, things like Malta, where they hit herd immunity based on the stats they were given from the U.S. and they still got screwed over by Delta, so we're told, or whatever's going on. It doesn't add up. There's so many different examples of why their narrative is just simply not accurate, and we just keep sticking to it. Farr's law seems to imply that these things have a mathematical formula to them. Whether you mask, whether you distance, whether you inject, whatever is going on, it generally ends up the same. And you know what? Historically, you could make a very solid argument for that. At the very least, Sweden is proving to you that doing all the things they tell you you're supposed to do not necessarily add up to safety. And in reverse, Germany showing you that, well, I'd say, I guess it's the same point, but Sweden is one of the most obvious examples of why we're being lied to. That is the illusion. Especially because nobody wants to talk about it. Oh, and they make the point in the tweet here. Germany and Sweden have reported nearly identical population-adjusted COVID deaths, the important part, for 15 months. 15 months, almost identical population-adjusted COVID deaths, despite Germany having mask mandates and overwhelming compliance. Germany was called a masterclass in science communication. I wonder when Sweden will get that designation, right? Of course they won't, because Sweden didn't do what they were supposed to do, even though they fared better. It's just ridiculous. Continuing on with the illusion of misinformation, right? Censoring the people that are trying to give you the objective while allowing misinformation that they frame as the truth. It says, with now 82% of its population fully vaccinated, nearly all adults, Singapore has proven much more resistant to new COVID cases. Nope. Just kidding. The exact opposite. No, it's gone exactly the other direction. For those in the podcast, the tweet was kidding. And in fact, it's gone the exact opposite direction. Right? 82% of its population fully vaccinated, and their cases are skyrocketing higher than they've ever been before. But just close your eyes and keep pretending. As Kevin points out, it's just a sign that it's working, right? What do you know? Of course, because if more people vaccinated, which is more cases, it means it's working. It's effective. It's even effective. Doesn't just keep nodding your head. Kevin is a PhD, by the way, in case you forgot. Wait, is this the one that I believe was, that's interesting. I'm almost certain that it looks like he changed his bio. Anyway, maybe I'm wrong. I thought he was a PhD. Going forward, here is a basketball player who is telling you the truth. Now, regardless of what you think about this, every single thing he says is not only backed up by historical, you know, understanding of science and scientific studies backing that up, but it's backed up right now in real time during COVID-19 around natural immunity, around everything he talks about. And I'll give you the tools to break this down. I won't go through it all again like I have 100,000 times. But remember that all of the people they're telling you to listen to are telling you that your natural immunity not only lasts, is durable, robust, but it's, you know, T-cell immunity. There's CD8-4, I believe, memory B, all these things, all of them against 23 variants, including the variants of concern, if you got sick back in the beginning. I'll show you this briefly, just to give you the tools to look at it going forward. But they're telling you all this from multiple locations, on top of the fact that they're telling you, actually, I did forget to grab this one, so I'm going to do it right now. We'll swing back. They're telling you, as you guys have seen many times before, there, that you go get sick, or you have a high potential to get sick if you get infected, recover, and then get the injection, which challenges everything they're trying to throw at you right now. All of it. So first, let's listen to what he had to say, and then we'll go through it.
Jonathan, Josh Robbins with The Athletic. What is it about the vaccine that makes you hesitant to get it?
Let me know in the sound in the chat. Going back and forth from the office to hear him. I'm going to make sure the sound with this mic is good for you guys. Let me know.
I would start with I've had COVID in the past. And so our understanding of antibodies, of natural immunity has changed a great deal from the onset of the pandemic and is still evolving. I understand that the vaccine would help if you catch COVID and you'll be able to have less symptoms from contracting it, but with me having COVID in the past and having antibodies with my current age group and physical fitness level, it's not necessarily a fear of mine. Taking the vaccine, like I said, it would decrease my chances of having a severe reaction, but it does open me up to the, albeit rare chance, but the possibility of having an adverse reaction to the vaccine itself.
I mean, right now, what's crazy to me is literally the narrative, right? Not like, I shouldn't say the narrative, but like, okay, so we're seeing the scientific research come out and back them up. Yes, that's the case. And in the internal circles of the mainstream, they know that. They're just trying to keep that from the view. They're allowing the Twitter sphere to not really to adopt it. They're still confused. I'll show you in a second. They're calling what he's saying right here fake news. I mean, literally, the fact that you can get natural immunity and that it can last, and the fact that you dropped it just there. Hold
taking
on.
The vaccine, like I said, it would decrease my chances of having a severe.
Oh, and again, the rare, he calls them, side effects, which they've admitted to. Yet somehow it's fake news when he says it all together. It's crazy, right? But on top of that, I want to make sure we understand that the idea that you lessen your symptoms, there's no way to verify that. I can't say this enough. There's been no, Pfizer says it does that. That's it. Pfizer's been caught lying about this stuff 10 times over. How do you possibly know that when you get sick, which, by the way, they keep telling you was not supposed to happen, it's rare, and now it's happening all over the place, but now it's, but you would be worse off. Oh, thank you, Pfizer. I'll just take your word for it. I'm super sick. I'm in the hospital. I'm almost dying, but thank God I got the injection because it would have been worse. Sure, is that possible? I guess. I don't understand why that even makes sense based on what they told you to begin with. 100% effective, they kept saying, and now we're at the point where it's like, well, you have less symptoms. It's amazing what people will gobble up. But like, well, I'm sorry, I know people hate when I stop all the time. Let's finish. Furnish what he said first.
Like I said, it would decrease my chances of having a severe reaction, but it does open me up to the, albeit rare chance, but the possibility of having an adverse reaction to the vaccine itself. I don't believe that being unvaccinated means infected, or
yes,
being vaccinated means uninfected. You can still catch COVID with or without having the vaccine. I would say, honestly, the craziness of it all in terms of not being able to say that it should be everybody's fair choice without being demeaned or talked crazy to doesn't make one comfortable to do what said person is telling them to do. I would say that's a couple of the reasons that, I would say I'm hesitant at this time, but at the end of the day, I don't feel that it is, anyone's reason to come out and say, well, this is why, or this is not why. It should just be their decision. And,
right.
You know, loving your neighbors, not just loving those that agree with you or look like you or, move in the same way that you do. It's loving those who don't. Your reaction, but it does open me up to the, albeit rare thing, unvaccinated means.
Right. So I don't want to make sure I didn't want to forget this, that this is a very important point that I keep trying to make. And I'm so glad this guy, he's clearly very intelligent and he's obviously honing in on some important undertones that people aren't picking up on. Like right now,
It's the same way that they, you know, that theirs is unverified, which translates to fake. That does not what unverified means. It means it could be real or it could be fake. No one's looked. They haven't checked, but they're just being, oh, it's unverified. That's fake news. So right now, if you're unvaccinated, you are being deemed sick. Like you are just kind of being, you're an unvaccinated is going in the minds of people out there. You're a danger. You're sick. You're a problem. That's not the truth. That's not the case at all. I mean, on that note, I was going to kind of end with this, but I'll play this right now, I think, because it's just relevant to what I was just saying. Not that one. This one right here. This is crazy to me. And this is exactly the same kind of idea that we keep seeing, is that they're telling you that they're just, and they're going to bloat these numbers based on, you know, just in case, just to be safe, just for you, but then also use those verifiably bloated numbers to lock you up under danger because look at how high the numbers are. But wait a minute. You just said that you're artificially bloating them. Ah, fake news.
So we do have that framework where schools, if they see that there are an increased number of children who are ill because of respiratory illness, again, or teachers or staff, they can work with Alberta Health Services. And in some ways, that is adding an additional layer of protection, because if individuals choose to not get tested for COVID but are home with an illness, they're now counted in the list as being part of that outbreak. And so it's less.
So you're at home sick. So, I mean, whatever. So I guess they just are told, you're told you're sick, or I mean, how they even find out that you are sick if you're not testing, they're just counting you as COVID. That's literally what she just said. Now, first of all, how do we not know that you don't have bacterial pneumonia because you're wearing the mask? Or how about you just have the flu? Or how about you have pneumonia in general? Or how about you have any number of things that aren't COVID-19? But it doesn't matter, though. It's going to bloat the case numbers because just in case, right? But those numbers are then being used to lock you down because look how high the numbers are. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's just this kind of stuff is flagrant. Now, maybe they believe they're doing the right thing. Exactly. Someone says allergies, right? I mean, there's any number of reasons this could be happening, but it doesn't matter because it's all in the at the expense of your safety, they tell you. Meanwhile, the very action taking is destroying every other part of your life, your businesses, your health, your mental clarity, everything, for this zero-sum game that's absolutely never going to be reached. Just like how'd it work out to end terrorism? Right? How'd that work out? Did we defeat terrorism? Clearly. That clearly worked out well. In fact, it just went the other direction. Now, that was probably always the point, by the way. But regardless, even if you believe they were trying to defeat terrorism, whatever that stupid narrative means, it's never achievable. It's a concept. It's not like there's a person named terrorism you can go defeat. It's a concept that will never go away, largely because they're creating it, but that's another conversation. This is designed to never end. It's the same thing, security state to biosecurity state. And here they are making it happen, whether she knows it or not. This is an illusion. That doesn't necessarily mean that there's nothing there. It just simply means that this is an illusion. You're being deceived.
Less dependent on needing a test to be a part of identifying where there is an issue. We are, as I...
Isn't that funny? Like identifying, like sort of like, well, identify as a male or woman. It's like, well, you can now identify. I don't need a test. I believe I have COVID. I identify as a COVID patient.
Mentioned working with education to determine if there...
I'm not necessarily saying that's what she was meaning. I just think that was funny.
Any adjustments that need to be made to this framework, but there are no other settings right now aside from continuing care and acute care as locations where there's a significant risk of transmission and severe outcomes if there should be an outbreak. In those settings, we are ensuring that follow-up takes place to mitigate and to manage outbreaks. However, in schools, again, we are taking the approach that an illness that fits that definition, respiratory illness, is treated the same way, whether it's someone who's diagnosed with COVID or not, and that additional measures can be put into place.
Could be put into place, exactly, based on a hypothetical. And even if they tested anyway, that is still a PCR test that's not supposed to be used for this use and is definitely high with a false positive rate with the cycle threshold they're absolutely using. So it doesn't even matter. It's an illusion on top of an illusion. Now ask yourself why they would need to make an illusion on top of an illusion. Probably because it's such a weak illusion to start with. That seems to suggest yet again that they're pulling this from whole cloth, but that's another conversation. They are counting people that they haven't verified as COVID for your safety, they say. Then using those numbers to restrict your life based on how high those numbers are. I don't know why we pretend this makes sense. I do. It's because politics. But here are some of the responses, right? So he lays out some pretty basic things. He's been sick before. He has natural immunity. He's concerned about the possible side effects. By the way, he's also very healthy. And I don't know, what's he, probably 20-something, 30, maybe the most, which means he has a statistically insignificant risk of dying from this, which means that the risk that is absolutely higher than usual for myocarditis, which can lead to a 25 to 50% increase in mortality in the next 10 years, is far, far, far more a risk. Just that one thing, myocarditis, which we'll talk about in a minute, is more than his stated possible risk from COVID-19 if he were to catch it first and then get the risk. That's the key. That's the fake. The what's part of the illusion? They keep going, well, the risk from COVID is far higher. Yes, but you got to get it first. And their risk of getting it is ridiculously low. And then it's a risk, a chance they would get it. You're injecting them with something that guarantees that risk begins. From that point forward, they have a risk of those side effects. It's just an illusion. Here's what she says. This idiotic response being covered up because he doesn't sound like a moron, even though he is. This is how broken people are. So he, because he got sick and has antibodies and is making a choice for himself, but telling other people to make their choice, he's a moron. I mean, good God, people, we are in a really dangerous position if that person actually thinks that. I don't put it past them if it's an illusion, maybe all these things are, I don't believe that. I believe a lot of people are taken by this. I believe the majority is on your side though. I know a lot of people don't want to think that because it's hard to believe, but I believe it. But this is crazy. Here's another one. Oh, he practiced being stupid because this speech sounds rehearsed as hell. Does it now? I mean, I don't think so at all, but regardless, what does that matter? So the facts being rehearsed makes him a bad person because he's saying something you don't agree with, right? Just wait, I'm going to walk through. I mean, it's very simple that these things are absolutely correct. You guys all know this because you've watched the show. But can I peg you, Seth Rogen is absolutely convinced this person is so stupid because she believes CNN and Fox News because they're the experts, right? She's told what to think. And because she believes what they say to think, she's smart because mainstream says that's research to think what the experts say you should think. I'm smart and I research that because they told me what to think. That's what these people believe. They don't, most of them don't even realize that that's what they think, but they believe that research due diligence is asking what the authorities think, asking what the experts think. But the experts are only people in a certain circle that say the right things that politicians allow them to. It's pretty damn basic, guys. And we all saw this back in foreign policy, but no, can't. Fake news. This is articulate horse S, the person says. It's crazy. But here's Matt Walsh saying, I have never heard anyone actually explain why people with natural immunity ought to get vaccinated when they already have better immunity than the vaccine affords. See, the people on Twitter would argue, that's fake news. But quietly in certain circles of the mainstream, they go, yeah, we know that's true, but we don't know, you know, whatever the next caveat is. But it's weird how the mainstream sphere, you know, the Twitter world is absolutely resistant to that. That's the stupidest thing they've ever heard in their life. Again, the analogy of Iraq, 9/11, right? They have the ability to put things in your mind without saying it outright. That's propaganda, social engineering. As he goes on to say, is it just to be a team player? Is that what they should be compelled to inject something? Why they should be compelled to inject something into their bodies? I mean, it's a great, regardless of who's saying this, it's a great, absolutely, and a great point. Nobody, and I've said this from the beginning, nobody's tried to explain why that makes sense. All they try to do is go, well, it could only help, but that's also not true. Here's what people said to him. According to this is Christian Drosten, the idea situation should be to get both. I think they mean ideal situation to get both. But that's not true. You see, this is the narrative they're citing because this is what people in the mainstream channels say is what the experts say. But it's not, though. To get a vaccine and to get infected later on, he thinks, talks about getting infected in more on one occasion. Of course, that doesn't mean you should get sick on purpose. Oh, God forbid, you should actually get immunity. Now, I'm not arguing you should go out and try to get. The point is that, I mean, look, chickenpox. People used to have chickenpox parties, guys. It's not that hard to understand. if you realize that you're not at risk from COVID-19, unless you're over 70 and have comorbidities, right? That's the crazy part. They've hyped up people's irrational fear to such a degree. How can we get sick on purpose? That's crazy. But it's not, though, especially when you realize you're not at risk. But this is a different conversation. But as this one says, and I'll circle back to that point about why you getting both is not the truth. I just showed you the study. He says acquired immunity is tailor-made to the particular strain of infection and not necessarily any mutations. Except that's, well, okay, here's what's interesting. He says, what he's arguing here, acquired immunity. So you could argue that means either one. I would think acquired immunity is tailor-made. It sounds like an injection kind of a concept, but clearly he's not arguing that. So what he's saying is natural immunity, if I'm taking his meaning correctly, is only tailored to one specific mutation. But that's not true. As we keep showing you from science and a whole bunch of other places, 23 different variants, including the variants of concern. In fact, the reality is that the immunity they claim you get from the injection is what he's actually talking about, even though he doesn't realize it. It does not do anything to any of these other variants because it doesn't affect anything but that original spike protein direction. And that's what they've all found, that they're immune. The Lambda, Delta, Mu, they're all showing to be vaccine resistant. He goes, this is why flu vaccines have spotty efficacy. No, it's because they guess at the strain and make it before it's even there. We've covered all of this. Even the CDC was called out by the HHS, by the British Medical Journal, by the WHO for this illusion. But facts, who cares about facts? Narrative is what's important today and are required year after year. Oh, is that why? An mRNA vaccine is generic, designed to attack the spike protein of virtually any variant. Guys, this is literally not true. This is the opposite. What he's saying is the inverse of reality. The mRNA vaccine is focused on the spike protein and the specific. That is, again, why we're seeing the reality. And this is, it's amazing that these people can cite these things. I'm pointing to the Journal of Infection. I'm pointing to Nature. I'm pointing to science. I'm pointing to The Lancet. As you guys have seen 100 times over. What it's telling you is that injections made specifically these antibodies to recognize that are made with the original strain and come in contact with the Delta variant, as it says right here. Antibody-dependent enhancement may be a concern for people receiving vaccines based on the original strain, which all of them are, the spike sequence, either mRNA or viral vectors, and then coming into contact with the Delta, which is what they're telling you is everywhere. There it is right there. So how can he state this? He's wrong. It's very clear that he's wrong. There's plenty of other scientific studies from multiple other highly regarded outlets that say the same thing. In fact, you do get the antibody immunity in a lot of other ways from the natural version. It's just insulting. Here's another one. How is one going to prove they have natural immunity? Take an antibody test every day and walk around with it? I mean, that's crazy. Oh, but here's my vaccine passport to get into the restaurant. Thank you. How is it possible that people like this calling here can be so oblivious? Like, you're totally fine with a vaccine passport, but somehow having something to prove the natural immunity blows your mind? Now, we should have neither, by the way, because we shouldn't have to prove any of this to anybody. It's nobody's business. You see, that's the problem. They're so tapped into this great reset infrastructure about the biosecurity state and proving, checking with people with their passports, that they were like, how do we prove that? And it makes me laugh that he's like completely flat, like, God, what do you mean? With you'd carry it with you? Yeah, man, exactly like you're talking about in regard to the other thing, but we shouldn't do either. I just don't even understand how people are so confused. Jay says, how do you identify those with natural immunity? It's impossible to identify a person who has natural immunity to all variants. Well, not really, seeing as how the science is continuing to tell you that right now that natural immunity applies to 23 variants, including the variants of concern. But this person apparently is completely unaware of the highly regarded scientific publication that's telling you exactly what you're supposed to think according to the mainstream media that yet simultaneously they're all ignoring. It says either way, such a person can still pass on the virus. In fact, that's literally not true. You see, they're just taking the narrative that's applying to the current vaccine. You can still pass it on if you get the injection. You apparently can't, according to the WHO and everybody else. 99% of people up to have neutralizing antibodies. Neutralizing, meaning that doesn't happen. And then you get into all the rest of it, which points out that you have other kinds of antibodies. Memory B, not antibodies, memory B, you have T cell, all these different things we talked about in regard to how this actually stops it, including mucosal immunity. But either way, such a person can still pass it on. Not true. Based on, based on the research they tell us to listen to, they're saying that's not true. And yet they just argue the opposite. It says we all need to be vaccinated rather than dream of some natural immunity that may not exist. What are you talking about? That may not exist? These people are completely blinded by the mainstream, and yet the mainstream is supposed to be the ones trusting the science, and yet they're ignoring the science. Now, here is a point, again, that I was going to play at the end, but seeing as how this seems to tie in right now, we're talking about neutralizing antibodies. And he's arguing that you could, the vaccinated could, or excuse me, where was it? That impossible to identify 12 variants and a person could still pass it on. What we're talking about is the injection scenario. For those that seen this clip played on a couple of past shows where I haven't had the article up, they're like, well, this could be fake or manipulable. Here it is on MSN, right? This is by the Daily Mail. This is from April 6th, 2021. So recognize this was being stated by a scientist talking about the Pfizer injection in April. April, telling you, Pfizer vaccine produces fewer antibodies. Here he is.
So the key message from our finding is that we found that recipients of the Pfizer vaccine, those who've had two doses, have about 5 to 6-fold lower amounts of neutralizing antibodies. Now, these are the sort of gold standard.
Right. And you've seen this clip 100 times. You can watch it for yourself. He goes on to say that one shot is also lower. Two is the lowest, though. So what he's referring to is versus everybody else. So you get natural immunity. Right? But you have the injections. Well, you have two, what is he, five, what did he say? Hold on.
Those who've had two doses have about 5 to 6-fold.
5 to 6-fold lower antibodies. This was stated in April. We're talking about the same injection. And yet here we are pretending like we're only now discovering the waning immunity. Guys, we have known this. They have kept it from your view. It's always been there. And we're just seeing the choke point controlled flow of information. That's what we're watching. You guys know, you've been here. I've been yelling about this stuff from the beginning. We're only just now seeing these things drip out, right? I mean, even discussions of the Pfizer, ivermectin Pfizer pill, right? We talked about that in the beginning of September. Now suddenly it's becoming news again in other spheres. The point is it's been there. You know. Now here is a clip, a great clip made by Star on July 9th, kind of just going over just the natural immunity. You guys can watch it for yourselves if you want to be able to share just a focused natural immunity clip. And here's also some articles I'll include. There's probably at least 7 or 8 of them where I've gone deep into natural immunity, but this one is the complete breakdown of science, mainstream media, and the COVID narrative on the topic of natural immunity. August 29th, 2021. Here's another one. This is specifically the more evidence natural immunity is all that you need. This is August 20th. And here, this one is from August 19th. Natural immunity protects from variants. Now, of course, there's ones that go all the way back to the beginning of this conversation. But none of this stuff they want you to see because it challenges everything, including the fact that right now, and again, keeping this person's comments in mind, that the opposite of this, like the natural immunity is this we don't know if it's there and we don't have to sure if it works, but the vaccine definitely works better than everything else. Here is, yet again, the government telling you that you are going to have to get a booster or you're not vaccinated. Now, remember, the other argument here of how the pandemic of the unvaccinated becomes the illusion of that. If you are unvaccinated after 2 shots because you're waiting on your booster and then you die, you go down as an unvaccinated death. It's not hard to see how that works.
It won't be a vaccine passport you'll be showing in the first half of next year. It'll be your booster passport to show that you've been to have your third jab. It won't be a vaccine passport you'll be showing in the first half of next year. It'll be your booster passport to show that you've been to have your third jab.
So now you need your booster passport. Oh, weird. You mean like exactly like he told you would happen before boosters ever became a topic? Like, please recognize more than the other, you know, the conspiracy theorists were right kind of argument. We were literally telling you that this would be what happened before boosters were even on the table. Remember that. People like Corbett, myself, we were telling you just like the flu vaccine, they're going to bring it out. It's going to be year round. Here we are. How do we possibly know that? Now, we're not psychic. It's because we can see the basic outline of their very obvious plan if you're just paying attention. And yeah, sometimes it could go a different direction. But here we are yet again, pointing to something that happens and then it happens. Just like Israel's now telling you the 4th and the 5th. They've made it very clear that the vaccines, the boosters specifically, are going to be a roundabout scenario, that it's going to be the next one, and the next one, ongoing, until whatever next thing they shoot it. Like, it's probably going to be where they create something that is the solution to that. And that'll be the end game, or I don't know, whatever that ends up being. Oh, guess what? Tired of your 47th booster? Here's the solution. We have the new mRNA platform, whatever it will be. And you can bet it will lead in the same direction. But here's the ones I want to include. Just the basic. I think these four, five are really the outline of the importance here, showing you that the WHO is telling you that within 4 weeks following infection, 90 to 99% of individuals that are infected develop detectable neutralizing antibodies. The one that the scientist just told you were 5 to 6 times lower after the Pfizer injection. Here's Nature telling you on May 27th, you'll probably have antibodies for a lifetime if you've had COVID. And it also discusses the CD8 T cells and all the other things in this study, in this article. I'm trying to skim real quick. It's in there somewhere. But here's The Lancet telling you. So the point is, we have 99% of people, like up to 99% people who will develop it. It could last the rest of your life, according to Nature. Lancet tells you that regardless of your severity, you will have these things, including CD8 T cell responses, all the other things we're talking about. Then you've got science telling you, on top of all of that, lasting regardless of disease severity, that you have antibodies, even if you had it right in the beginning, against 23 variants, including variants of concern. How is that possible if those variants weren't even in existence yet? And then please put together what that means, that you will have immunity to whatever else comes next. Because if you have immunity to the variant that popped up after you had it, you're going to have immunity to the other ones too. It says including variants of concern. It just cannot be more clear. Then realize that if you were to get the injection after getting sick, because they tell you it will make it even better, that the Journal of Infection is telling you there's a very serious risk of antibody-dependent enhancement, because it's based on the original strain going against the Delta variant and going forward other variants as well. You're creating an antibody response that is hurting your body, guys, and it's very, very clear. And speaking of that, let's bring it over to the conversation from Research Square. Yes, on preprint server, pathogenic antibodies induced by spike proteins of COVID-19. Now, it's important to remember, we're talking about the same spike proteins being produced in your body from the injection. That's why that works. Now, there's an interesting crossover here. This was published on June 16, 2021, right? Interesting crossover. Because you could argue that this seems to imply that if this is happening, well, that the natural immunity part of it would only come around after you are dealing with these problems, which doesn't change. I mean, based on the breadth of scientific studies, they're telling you it's lasting, durable, and it works. The only thing it seems it would argue is that that COVID-19 would hurt you, and then you would still end up with natural immunity, but it could hurt you quite a bit based on the antibodies being pathogenic. But on top of that, you have to understand how this connects to the spike protein being created by the injection, creating pathogenic antibodies that could lead to all the things, by the way, we're seeing happen right now, as it says in this study. The study, using a virus-free mouse model, explores the pathogenic roles and novel mechanism of action of certain antibodies specific to the spike proteins of highly pathogenic coronaviruses such as COVID-19. These pathogenic antibodies target and bind to host vulnerable cells or tissues such as damaged lung epithelium cells, initiate a persistent self-attack immune response, and lead to serious conditions including ARDS, cytokine storms, and death. So understand that means, according to the study, you get COVID-19, the spike protein. And if we're talking about just the spike protein, which is what they just said, that means injecting that into your body, that spike protein could do the same things. And I'll make the points more about why that it's not just in your arm, as that's been proven many times over. And a new study also makes this claim very clearly. But it says, moreover, the pathogenic antibodies, let me grab the meaning that it could harm you, but specific definition, pathogenic being of bacterium, virus, or microorganism causing disease. That's really what it is. Remember, we'll show you again from the study that says this, the spike protein alone can cause disease. But it says pathogenic antibodies may also be responsible for infection-related autoimmune diseases, including those experienced by COVID-19 long haulers, which then means, yes, that could also be being caused by the injection. Furthermore, the pathogenic antibodies can bind to the unmatured fetal tissues and cause abortions, postpartum labors, stillbirths, neonatal deaths of pregnant females. Novel clinical interventions, though disrupting through disrupting the binding of these pathogenic antibodies can be developed to fight COVID-19 pandemic. So it's interesting to me. This is outlining an obvious tie to all the things we see happening from the injection and the spike protein it's producing. But one more dance back to the point on this in regard to natural immunity. I think the important part of this is that we have an unending list of highly regarded scientific publications that are outlining everything about this and why natural immunity is just obviously the best possible solution. This then seems to argue that that doesn't necessarily not take place, but that these pathogenic antibodies, one, could cause all these problems in your body before that natural immune is created, but also continue to cause problems. Right? So that's very clearly on the table if this study is correct. As always, it's important to contrast it with everything else. But I think that's very interesting, right? This also speaks to whether or not whether COVID-19 is what we think it is, what they tell us it is, whether it's there at all. This could just be, the spike protein is obviously the focal point here, guys. Why are we continuing to inject people with something that leads to a spike protein that in every possible way is being shown to cause problems? Here is the main study that's pointed to in the Salk Institute research, as I've shown many times, which says the study's proving that the spike protein alone was enough to cause disease, which means it's pathogenic, which means it can spread, cause symptoms. But here's the study itself. SARS-CoV-2 spike protein impairs endothelial function via downregulation of H2, March 31st, 2021. In the current study, we show that the spike protein alone can cause vascular endothelial cell damage by downregulating H2 and consequently inhibiting mitochondrial function. Oops, didn't want to close that. But again, proving that the spike protein alone was enough to cause disease, alone. So very clearly, if it's being injected into your body or the instructions to create it in your body, that can cause disease, which can then lead to pathogenic antibodies, which could lead to all the things they listed off, autoimmune diseases, long haul stuff, the fetal abortions, the postpartum labors, all this stuff. Now, on top of that, here's another part of this that's very important. This is from August 18th. Intravenous injection of coronavirus disease, of SARS-CoV-2, or of COVID-19 mRNA vaccine can induce acute myopericarditis in mouse model. Now, myopericarditis specifically is a combination of both myocarditis and pericarditis appearing in a single individual. Now, but remember, as I've said before, they're different things. Right? The sac around the heart versus the heart itself. But the point is, I've said many times that they tend to, as I understand it, I was told this by people in this field, that they use myocarditis as like a general term over the whole category. Not that they're the same thing, but that's why I tend to just go with myocarditis when I'm discussing this. I have to list these all. Pericarditis seems like a weird word to pronounce anyway. But so we see this is both of them. Now, what it's saying is that when intravenous injections, now, but you would say, well, that's not how this works. It's in your shoulder, in your muscle, right? But what the study points out is a very interesting thing that continues to back up this other point that we've made, that we've shown you that the study's already found this is found in your blood one day after the injection, despite what they say. Now, yes, I want to point out that the author of this study, circulating severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus 2 vaccine antigen detected in plasma of mRNA 1273 vaccine recipients, and it says in the abstract, 11 of 13 participants showed detectable levels of the spike protein as early as one day after the injection. The authors of this said, well, it wasn't enough to cause this or that. That's okay. Just to put it out there, they argued that this is, I guess, irrelevant despite their finding. Like, I promise you they were pressured to make this seem less than it was. It's the only thing that you need to take away from this is that the spike protein, to whatever level, was present in your blood one day after the injection. That's all. And it's very clear that says that. The point is, this study is now showing you what that can do. Now, first of all, it says post-vaccination myopericarditis is reported, which I hate, after immunization with, no, it's not reported. They've all admitted that it's absolutely possible. Saying reported as it makes it seem like it's still unverified, but they will always run with reported, linked to, or whatever, because they don't want to admit that it is happening and we proved it's happening. To what degree? It can be argued. But very clearly, it's happening. Not just reported, but happening. I just had to point that out. But they're investigating this around specifically the mRNA injections. Now it says, the study provided in vivo evidence that inadvertent intravenous injection. That's important, not on purpose. Of the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines may induce myopericarditis. What do you know? Brief withdrawal of syringe plunger to exclude blood aspiration may be one possible way to reduce the risk. So the point being is that in some natural processes of these injections that people, I guess, inject too far, or, you know, I don't administer injections. My point is that you can clearly see there's a situation where it's inadvertent, where that ends up going into your blood. Because the point is they pull the plunger and you have blood. So that means that, or at the very least, that it was not just in your shoulder muscle, but in the blood. Which then means that it's verifying this yet again, that there are not just ways, just naturally, but by accident or any other way, that if it can end up in your blood, it can lead to all the same problems we're talking about. It can lead to disease from the injection or otherwise. Pretty clear. To extrapolate this out just a little bit, it says the WHO and the CDC no longer recommend aspiration of syringe plunger during intramuscular injections, especially during vaccination when a rapid injection of a small volume may reduce discomfort. However, a self-reporting study of registered nurses showed that 40% reported blood aspiration at least once. 40% and 4% reported blood aspiration 13 times or more during intramuscular injection. The finding suggests that inadvertent intravenous injection of vaccine is possible. Yeah, 40% possible. It says recently, inadvertent intravenous injection of adenovirus vector-based COVID-19 vaccines like the J&J and others was implicated to trigger platelet adenovirus aggregates taken up by spleen, which mounted B cell response in binding antibodies against platelets. Do you realize how important this is? This is clearly showing you not only that the injections are obviously leading to this, because once you get in the bloodstream, it seems to be much more, they're basically showing you this is now linked to both cases happening in your heart if it ends up in your bloodstream, which, as we keep showing you, 11 of 13 participants, when they were studied, showed detectable levels of it in their bloodstream one day later. Gee, I wonder why we're seeing myocarditis everywhere. I wonder why we're seeing pericarditis everywhere. I wonder why we're seeing heart attacks everywhere. It's showing you quite clearly this is possible, but on top of that the adenovirus as well, when that made it in the bloodstream, was also leading to the very thing they were denying from the very beginning. The platelet issues, the bleeding, all these problems. And yet, this will be fake news. I promise this will be censored on YouTube like every other video we do until they eventually grudgingly admit this small part of it. It's super rare and uncommon as they keep forcing everybody to get it. It's despicable. All I've ever said is you should have a choice. If this is possible, even to the smallest degree, you should have a choice. I don't care what risk you're pointing to. That used to matter in this country, or at least they used to say that it mattered. Now, on this last point, guess what? Cases of rare MISC, multi-system inflammatory, MISC, am I forgetting what it stands for now? I thought it was multi. Anyway, we talked about this quite a bit. I'm going to get to my point. I also make sure I have the name I did have it just backwards. That's weird. Multi-system, that's what it was. The S was for system in my mind. Multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children. Now remember, there was a MIS or just MIS or MIS-A, I think it was just MIS before the COVID came around, that they just suddenly made a new category for and just suddenly blamed COVID, even though they still have never proven that it's actually connected to COVID. Multi-system inflammatory problems, right? Now I've shown you that the mask could lead to systemic inflammation. Very clearly, but I've also shown that the injections can do all these things as well. The spike protein, which can shed, could also do that too. But what's interesting is weird, right? In February, we saw rare cases of this weird situation we never saw before COVID, and not COVID, but the injections tripled in California. Because before all this, remember, all we're hearing about this is supposedly only under 400 kids have died. And even the numbers they gave us for hospitalization were 50% of them were shown to be false. And even the cases they said of the ones that died, even the Wall Street Journal called them out for not verifying a single one of them. So when they say, oh, these cases have tripled and oh, my kids are at risk. Well, that's just a big illusion narrative that's happening right now. And I've shown you that the whole time. So when they've tripled along the line with the injections, gee, I wonder what's happening. But I leave it to you to come up to your own mind. Now, Disclosed TV's reporting, just in, Biden could fine firms up to $700,000 if they fail to mandate vaccines. But it's not a government mandate, though. Well, businesses can do it. But we're going to fine you million, almost $1 million if you don't do the thing that we're not forcing you to do. According to a vaccine enforcement mechanism that is part of a $3.5 trillion Build Back Better bill. Build Back Better. Right. Let's not pretend. Let's still pretend like this is not tied in with the Great Reset at all. I mean, come on. That's just on its face obvious, guys. But on top of that, where does that $3.5 trillion come from? Your pocket. They are forcing you to inject yourself with an experimental injection you don't want with your money. $700,000. Whatever happened to we have a choice or it's not the government's place and all this nonsense? I guess that just changed the moment that you saw we weren't going to just meekly go along with what you want. So they were lying then. So they're hypocrites. So they're making it up. Didn't mean it. Shocking, I know. Well, same people, right? Same people that are going to push you on are saying this right now. The CDC is issuing urgent health advisory related to pregnancy and COVID. Here's what they're saying. Today, the CDC issued an urgent health advisory to increase COVID-19 vaccination among people who are pregnant, recently pregnant, including those who are lactating, who are trying to become pregnant now, or who might be pregnant in the future. Why? To prevent serious illness, deaths, adverse pregnancy outcomes. Great. So then you would assume that means that they know for sure it's safe for pregnant people. You would assume they've tested it on pregnant people, and you'd assume that their documentation backs that up, wouldn't you? The CDC Health Advisory strongly recommends COVID vaccination either before or during pregnancy. Why? Well, of course, because the benefits of vaccination for both pregnant persons and their fetuses, infants outweigh known or potential risks. Let me ask you a quick question here. How could it possibly outweigh potential risks? You don't know them. So you're talking known. Another way to say potential would be unknown, right? So known and unknown risks. So you're telling me this outweighs the unknown risks? Yeah, that sure makes sense, doesn't it? Let's just pretend for a sake that this absolutely does make sense, and it's not the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Let's argue that, okay, we do know the risks, right? Or at the very least, they're saying we know ostensibly that, you know, that this looks safe enough that it outweighs what we see happening, however you want to frame it. Their documentation at this very moment says the opposite. Right now. Here is, as I've shown you, that was out of order. Here is, as I've shown you many times. Well, first of all, that's what it was. There you go. So right now, this is on the documentation as of September 22nd, guys. Very new update. Pregnancy. Available data on Pfizer injections administered to pregnant women are insufficient to inform vaccine-associated risks in pregnancy. I mean, this is just getting ridiculous, guys. I mean, absolutely mind-blowingly ridiculous. And that's coming from, I see them doing this stuff. This is right now. This is what it states because that's what they're currently saying. Yet they come out on top of that and go, but take it though, because the benefits outweigh the risks. You mean the risk that you just said you don't know about? The risk that the FDA document says we don't know because we haven't done the research? Yes. Then even lactation, it says, data are not available to assess the effects of Pfizer injections on the breast, or on the breastfed infant or on milk production. But here we are, where they're telling you, for people who are lactating, how can the CDC get away with this if we don't know the risks of this, yet they're claiming that the benefits outweigh the risks? It's absolutely mind-boggling. Now, on top of that, like I just want us to like revel in that moment for, I mean, it's just there's no way to misunderstand this. They are telling you to do something that they don't know is safe because they're just supposed to argue all of this is safe. Now, there's some really nefarious reason in my mind why they're driving this towards pregnant women so hard, when historically that's one that's generally avoided in this kind of concept, or children for that matter, as we know as a matter of fact that most of them have natural immunity along with everybody else and are at 0% risk of dying. And I say natural immunity only because most of the country has this by now, very clearly, if you know, arguing from within their narrative, you believe what they're saying. But the next point is just the same. It's unbelievable. As he's now saying how you should time your flu shots with COVID-19. And he gets into discussion like, well, how you should get it, when you should get it. Like, and the argument is that there's a whole Wall Street Journal video about the coming flu twindemic. Wait a minute. You mean like you said last time and then the flu vanished weirdly? Not weirdly at all, obviously what happened. But now suddenly this next one's going to become the twindemic because everything's exactly the same. They're saying the same thing, but this time it's going to come back strong. Okay, why? If you can't explain why it went away, because they can't, the only thing it said, well, because of the restrictions. But why is COVID going up? Well, because they're not following the restrictions. You can't have it both ways. But they are. But now they're claiming it's going to come back. My point, though, is it's going. They're going to use this in a ridiculous way, but he's telling you to get both injections. Of course he is. But the other point is very clear on this document too. Drug interactions, number 10. This, in fact, is listed twice. There are no data to assess the concomitant. Interesting. I thought that said something different. I want to look that up. Concomitant administration of Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccines with other vaccines. Same point over here. There is no information on the code. I bet you it means something similar to co-administration. On the co-administration of Pfizer injections with other injections. I mean, it just doesn't get more obvious than this. How can they recommend you get them both if you don't know what's going to happen when you get them both? Because trust the science, of course. Well, guess what it says here on top of this? I want to add this just on what we were just saying. Here's how it changed as of September 22nd. Myocarditis and pericarditis have been reported. You see why it says that other places? Following administration of the that's the new talking point. Well, they've been reported now. So is it rare? Is it a lot? Is it more than it should be? Well, they used to scream about how it was under the case. It's not, it's there, but it's not statistically significant. It's rare that it's under the normal situation, right? They would get four paragraphs explaining why it wasn't that serious. Well, now that it is that serious and their data shows you that it's like exponentially more of a risk than it normally is, if you take the injection, well, all they say is it's been reported. Period. Next point. It's just disgusting how obviously these people are playing a game. They are required, by the way, to tell you that it increases your risk by X amount of times based on your age, which is a lot in certain circumstances. You have a higher risk of myocarditis than any other part, like naturally getting it in your life, the moment you put that in your arm, for everybody. Maybe with the exception, I think, of the highest age category, if I'm remembering the graph correctly. Regardless, though, the point is the younger ages are wildly way. If I remember correctly, and I'm taking this off the cuff, it was something like 2 to 15 cases they were supposed to have in this age group, the average, you know, the usual. And there was something like 200-something cases they found. That's unreal. And every one of that comes with a non-serious case. It comes with an increased risk of mortality by 26 to 52%, I believe, over the next 10 years. Unreal. Then it says additional adverse reactions, some of which may be serious, may become apparent with more widespread use of the vaccine. Oh, gee, who would have guessed? How do you know that the benefits outweigh the risk when you literally just stated that you don't know all the risks? This is just stupid. Really, really stupid. But I think that finishes off. Well, this was the last point I was going to make on this, which is just, this is their effort, like I said in the beginning, to aggressively drive you into the partisan concept here, guys. Here's Salon. Literally, their headline is, it's time to start firing unvaccinated people, Trump fans are overdue for a lesson in consequences. Right, because it's literally only Trump fans. Not just conservatives, but just Trump fans. I mean, it's just ignorant. Ignorant of the facts, ignorant of everything. That's not what's happening. But you can see how desperate they are to drive you into this absurd two-party teeter-totter where it's like, well, it's just those guys over there. No, it's completely nonpartisan. But how about we address the first part and argue and point out how it used to be, oh, well, you know, the idea of HIPAA and all that doesn't apply because we're talking about hospitals. Well, guess what? It clearly applies in this context. And you're talking about how do you know they're unvaccinated? How can you fire them? This is crazy, especially since it's obviously an open discussion, as we've shown you many videos in every workplace that's doing this, pressuring people. She's telling you to go out as her God-sent apostles to try to force people to do this. It's time to start firing unvaccinated people. Yeah. Do you still feel like it was a choice? Totally just a choice, right? It's your choice to not exist in this world anymore. This has never been more clear, guys. I just keep saying that. I just can't get past how obvious this stuff is. But thank you for being here and continuing to fight this fight with me, because we are fighting for everything. And we're fighting with, I mean, objectively here, guys. And that's what's so, it's almost like we're hamstrung here. We have one leg or one arm tied behind our back, and we're fighting this battle with people with, you know, what's that? I can't remember that. I don't know, that deity with multiple arms. We're in this battle with them where they're lying. I mean, they're just every possible lie and manipulation coming every direction. And we're standing here and we're trying to be objective. And yet, you know, that it's important we do that. As much as it seems impossible sometimes, we need to be better than them. And it drives them crazy when they watch us. I mean, this is why they're censoring people out there producing sound reporting, because they cannot allow that around topics they're trying to control, because it's impossible to miss the contrast. When you watch what we're doing with this data and you compare that to what they're doing in the mainstream media, anybody who is remotely showing discernment, caring to look for the truth, will be like, okay, wait a minute. Like, that's really obvious right now. Some of these points we just went through, Shiva, thank you. I think that's what it was. Anyway, it's just very obvious. And I think we've said, stay the course, guys. Do not stop pushing, because we are making headway here. I feel it every single day. Oh, you know what? And to end up here, I forgot to mention this, and I actually wanted to, I'll include it in the show notes. Maybe I'll shout it out in the next show we do. I had a really great conversation with Derek. He actually came in to the studio, which I told you we were going to do. And we had a couple of technical glitches, it's a learning experience on this for those that know this, you know, the different mics and having it come together and everything. I thought I had it set up properly, but, you know, learning experience. But we ended up coming over and having a great conversation and about the UN Food Summit and food infrastructure and scarcity. And it was a really great conversation. But the point of bringing it up is that we are going to be having his the Franklin, Tennessee version of his 28 city tour, the activation tour, is on October 24th. So make your way to Franklin, make your way to, you know, Nashville is the center of the main city, but Franklin's where it's going to be. Make sure you come out if you're close enough, because we want this to be a big event. We want this to be gigantic. I would like to shut the streets down if possible, to have just endless amounts of people. It's going to be a great event where we're going to be having the presentation where I'll be speaking, Derek will be speaking, Miriam will be giving her meditation, Derek will be performing some music, I might be playing that out right now, and then of course, or maybe before, we'll be going out on the streets, handing out information, talking to people. And the whole point, guys, is the undertone on the flyer and everything: you are not alone. You know that, I know that, but not everybody knows that. People are out there terrified, thinking that nobody thinks like them. So we need to make sure they know that. And you know what? Start doing it now. Start championing that concept and go out and say, hey, you're not alone, man. Here's a show. Check out this show. Share here, you know, whatever it is. Corbett, my show, whatever else. There are people out there that think like you, and quite a bit more than you realize. They're desperate to keep you from seeing that. So that'll be the point. So make sure you come out and join us, or make sure you check out his website hit up one of the stops he's going to be doing going forward, because there's a bunch more stops before he gets to Tennessee on the 24th. So make sure you support it. Thank you for being here, guys. It means a lot to me and everybody else fighting for this. So I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.